Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Grape Bar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Grape Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Wednesday evening, we welcome you in. It is time for another edition of Grape Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. We have a very busy program going to be coming up. A handful of guests going to be on the show this evening. That includes Bernie Miklas in about 10 minutes. We'll talk with him about a lot of Blues talk. We'll get a few other things in there as well. Speaking of the Blues, Drew Bannister spoke with the media after practice earlier today. We'll hear some of what he had to say. A bit of a surprise, Robert Thomas was back practicing today, but it certainly does not sound like that really means anything in terms of when we might see him back playing in games. Hockey Amy Markscores is going to join us to talk Blues in the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll talk some SLU women's soccer with their head coach, Katie Shields, in the 7 o'clock hour as well as the SLU ladies get ready for their run in the NCAA tournament, which will begin on Friday night when they play host to Kansas. I am going to do my best to not just get completely unhinged when it comes to the St. Louis Blues. Because I am so incredibly frustrated. I honestly can't, you know, we've seen some bad stuff from the Cardinals in the last couple of years, mainly 2 years ago. I cannot think of a time that I was more frustrated with a single team in the St. Louis area than what I am right now with this St. Louis Blues team. Because part of the problem is I don't know what their pathway out of all this is. They can keep doing the same thing. They can keep saying the same thing. They've been saying the same thing for 2 years, maybe even longer than that. And they've now lost 3 in a row. Was the effort better last night after an 8-1 loss against the Capitals on Saturday? Was the effort better yesterday against the Bruins? Yeah, of course it was. We knew it was going to be. We knew it was going to be better. That's not a surprise at all. But up by a 2-0 score in the third period, and they cannot put together a good final 20 minutes where they can protect a 2-goal lead, and they end up losing by a 3-2 score. And then what do we hear after the game? To a man, every single guy is talking about the fact that they were tentative and they weren't aggressive and they were playing back on their heels and all those things in the third period. Like, what? What? You have a chance to right the ship, show that what happened against the Capitals was just a blip, and then you go out and do that. This Blues team has allowed 8 third-period goals in the last 2 games. 8 third-period goals in the last 2 games. I can't think that has happened very many times in the history of this organization. Oh, yeah, by the way, going into the game, Boston, they had been outscored 16-5 in the third period this year. They stink in the third period, and they outscored the Blues 3-0. They almost doubled their third period goal total for the entire season in one game. They like 40% more. The Bruins, they were 0-7-0 this season when trailing after two. So it's not even a team that has come back. They are not a comeback team. And the Blues, playing on their home ice, coming off a terrible loss with all the pressure in the world on them, what do? They go out and they give up three third period goals and they lose. And I need to stop. Like, this is one of these times where the fact that this is my job is maybe not good for me, because I can't stop thinking about this, and I can't stop getting more and more and more frustrated about it, because I'm not hearing anything that's different. Like, Daniel Esteve and I joked about it yesterday when we had him on the program, that when Drew Bannister spoke to the media on Monday, the first media session after that 8-1 loss, and what they worked on in practice, he just wanted to talk about line changes. Line changes? That's what he wanted to talk about? Like, that's you had players in the locker room on Saturday night and basically accusing other players in the room of quitting. Of just quitting. It was one of the single worst performances you had ever seen from the Blues in a single period. And they come back for their first practice, and Drew Bannister wants to talk about line changes. Okay. Like, Blues fans need more than that. They need to hear more than that. And it's just more of the same stuff. I'm going to play a bunch of what Drew Bannister had to say earlier today. Hey, you know what? Am I being wrong? Am I being too critical? If text in 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. The bottom line on all of this, and this is the silver lining of it, they are 7-9-0. They haven't dug themselves really into a hole. If they can find a way to, you know, right the proverbial ship, they can get things going once again, and the season can still be what we were kind of hoping for the season to be, a team that contends for a playoff spot, is fairly competitive, has, you know, some interesting players on it that maybe do some interesting things. Like, that's what you're looking for. Nobody was looking at this team to be a Stanley Cup winner this year, but going out there and being competitive, not giving games away, not getting tentative in the third period when you're up by 2-0, not giving up five goals in the third period like they did two games ago, like not doing those things, that's what we're looking for. And they can still get to that place because, again, thankfully, A, because of Jordan Binnington and what he's been able to do this year, and then B, the fact that they had those comeback wins right at the beginning of the season and were able to win four of their first six, those two things combined have put this team into a position where they've not dug a hole really at all. They're two games below 500. I am in no way, shape, or form concerned about their record. I'm not even concerned about the wins and losses right now. I want to see some other things. If they would have lost last night's game, but not lost it in the fashion that they lost it, this would be a very different narrative. This would be a very different tone of this show today. But instead, they go tentative and they give up three third period goals and end up losing. It's so incredibly frustrating. So yeah, if you got thoughts on it, feel free to text in 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air. Bernie Miklas joins us in just a moment or so. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Our conversations with Bernie Miklas are sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, and we do welcome Bernie Miklas onto the program for his weekly conversation here on Sports Open Line. Bernie, always appreciate you taking some time with us. How are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. Always great to be with you. And we look forward to doing when's our gas house gang tomorrow? Is it tomorrow or Friday?
I've got you Friday. I think you're with Wheeler tomorrow. Does that sound right?
Yeah, at noon. So we're looking forward to that the next couple days.
I need you to maybe walk me off the plank here, or maybe you're going to be right there with me. I am so incredibly frustrated about this Blues team. They lose that game 8-1. They come back. All they want to do is talk about line changes. Then they have a lead yesterday, and then they start playing tentative hockey for some unknown reason, and they give up three third-period goals. I should not be this frustrated about a team this early on in the season when they're only two games under 500, yet here I am.
Well, they're trending so poorly, and they've had so many embarrassing losses. I mean, as you mentioned, a couple of 8-1 losses, but also just letting a 2-0 lead slip away last night going into the third period. And listen, Boston's a name brand, and much respect to them, but I was looking at their numbers today. That's not a real high-scoring team. It really isn't this year. And yet they give up three goals to the Bruins last night and lose that game. And I think, and I mentioned this when I was on with Kevin Wheeler and Dave Glover today, what has me frustrated and just flat out tired out, basically, is that this has been going on for years where we kind of, it's like the same narratives are repeated over and over and over again. You know, we got to play for each other. We got to play harder. We got to play 60 minutes. We got to play a full ice game. You know, we got to play hard in every zone. We need more intensity. We need to get the puck in deep. We need to, you know, capture it, get it in deep, just keep getting in deep. And, you know, then last night, in the third quarter, we kind of laid back. We sat back. We weren't aggressive. We didn't attack. And like the coach and three or four players said that over and over and over again. And like I mentioned earlier today, well, if you're behind the bench or you're one of the team leaders and you see that there's trouble brewing because you're not on the offensive and you are being too placid, you're not going on the attack, you're kind of sitting back and going into a shell. Well, isn't that the reason why you have coaches? You say, hey, boys, time out here. Why are we laying back? Man, we got to keep pressing the action here. You know, we can't just sit back and kind of make it easy for them to come into our zone. We got to be more assertive. Like, isn't that what coaching's all about? And isn't that what leadership's all about? See, that's the thing with me. It just irritates me. I mean, I didn't expect them to be a great, great team this year. But it's sort of the same show. It's the same movie over and over and over again. And then you have to listen to the soundtrack after these games where they say the same stuff over and over and over again. And nobody fixes it.
I'm not a fire the coach guy. I'm not a hot take guy. That's not who I am. But I do wonder, When you've got a core group of players that got a Stanley Cup winning coach fired, and the character is something that has been brought up over the last 2 years, I do wonder, is bringing up a minor league coach, and we've talked about it on the baseball side of things. Like both of us have no issues with first year managers and things like that, but I do continue to wonder, was Drew Bannister the right guy to lead this kind of group based off maybe the character issues that might exist?
No, that's totally fair. I thought that Bannister, and I know you feel this way, I think he did enough to warrant a shot. I did think there was an expectation, or maybe anticipation's a better word, that, you know, Doug Armstrong was going to, in effect, let's face it, shop for something better if someone like Jim Montgomery, for example, became available, which he did not. And, you know, Armstrong would have gone to maybe a more established coach, but he wasn't too fired up about what he saw, evidently, and he thought that Bannister did a good enough job. But listen, you nailed it. If these players, and most of them are still here, if they were able to get Craig Berube fired, if I'm going to be cynical about it, because I'm like you, I don't want to see Bannister fired anytime early this season. But let me be cynical about it. If you can get the only coach in the history of the franchise to win a Stanley Cup, you can get him fired. Well, Drew Bannister is going to be, it's going to be really, 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 really easy to get him fired. You know, you don't even have to work at it. And that's the point. They're not working, but seriously, that's going to be an easy chore to get him fired after you get Craig Berube fired. Right?
Yeah, no, you're I mean, the only thing going against it is time, because you're not going to fire a guy in his first month of the full-time job.
Right. And what bothers me, and listen, I know Robert Thomas is a really good player. I mean, you know, he's our best playmaker and all that, and he's really developed the last couple of years into a kind of a next-level guy. And listen, man, I'm not saying it was going to be easy without him, but I also don't want to hear that excuse, because they weren't exactly scoring a bunch of goals, and they weren't distinguishing themselves offensively when he was still in the lineup. Same with Philip Roberg, you know, although those two guys clearly give them a more capable offense. But the Blues' offense has just died. And there's really no reason for this. I mean, this Pavel Buchnevich playing center is maybe one of the worst ideas I've ever seen covering Blues hockey. And I love Buchnevich. He's just not a center, though, right? His scoring is dried up. He can't win faceoffs. He's out of position. To me, this seems like a really simple fix, even if there's not, you don't have an ideal set of centermen with Robert Thomas out. But how is sending Buchnevich out there to fail and to, like, lose, you know, 70%, 65% of the faceoffs? How's that helping the team? And then Kyrou, you just never know who's going to show up from night to night. Or even if he's playing well, you've got to hold your breath and say, well, he's going to make some dumb play or he's going to turn it over any minute now. You know, you can't trust him entirely. I think he's been playing long enough to where he should have established more reliability, and you're not so nervous about him making some, like, rookie-like mistakes. Do you agree?
No, 100%. 100% agree with everything you just said. And it's going to be interesting to see what they look like when they come off this next road trip, because this is, I feel like they're at an intersection right now, and who knows where it's going to go. Want to get a little baseball with you before we get out of here. The reports are that the Phillies are looking to trade Alec Bohm. The Phillies have been connected to Alex Bregman, but there's going to obviously be a Nolan Arenado connection here. We've discussed the places where it makes sense for Arenado to end up, and the Phillies, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros, and then if the Dodgers were to do something crazy to make room for him, we've talked about them. But I think from a Cardinal standpoint, it is interesting that the Phillies evidently are not happy with Bohm and they're looking to upgrade.
Well, Bohm is an intriguing guy because he was 27 this past year, and I think he's got 25 and 26 left before he can become a free agent. And I'm looking at him. I mean, I know they got down on him, and I'm just sitting here without knowing the context of why they're down on him. But, I mean, he had an OPS plus last year of 117. That's pretty good. He slugged .448. That's pretty good. His on-base percentage was respectable. His batting average was .280. He's a guy that doesn't strike out a lot. He had 86 strikeouts. 15 homers, nearly 100 RBIs. I mean, it seems like a player that would fit into your lineup for a couple of years. But the only drawback is if you truly want to see Nolan Gorman play third base, you truly want to see what's going to transpire there if you trade Arenado. Well, if you bring in Alec Bohm as part of that deal, hypothetically, well, then Nolan Gorman's not going to be given a long look or an extensive look at third base. It's just not going to happen. And meanwhile, they're all piled up with second basemen, as you know. Donovan, Sejacy, Weatherholt's going to be on the way soon. Of course, Gorman. So in the near currently, and then in the near future, pretty near future, you know, you got like four second basemen, and I know Donovan can move around. But you're overloaded with second baseman. So that's one drawback of making a trade that would involve Arenado to the Phillies with Bohm in return. These things are fun to talk about, though. Don't get me wrong. But there's a little bit of a downside. It clogs up. You don't have third base open. And I think a lot of people were – one of the reasons to trade Arenado is you wanted to open it up to see if that's Gorman's destiny.
But it doesn't even have to be Bohm coming back. You could do a three-way deal. Bohm could just go somewhere else. I mean, if the Phillies go work out a deal for Arenado, they can go trade Bohm to whoever they want to trade him
That's
to. So, you know, I'm not for – and you know what? Maybe in a way, if it does turn into a three-way deal, you can find a way to get a little bit more for Arenado, because we know three-way deals, you can get creative in there where maybe you're receiving a prospect from that third team involved.
And I think, yeah, you're right, and that's such a great point about Bohm. He doesn't mean he's ticketed to St. Louis, and I'm being a little silly there assuming that, so thank you for that. But I think any Arenado deal is going to have to involve some money going the other way. I don't know how much. You know, it's basically $74 million left if you take away the $10 million that the Rockies will be paying, $5 million in each of the next 2 years. So $74 million, I mean, that's not a prohibitive amount, especially if the Cardinals are willing to pick up some of the tab on that. But that's obviously going to be one of the issues. The other issue is all these front offices, they're so much smarter now. They know how to identify age-related decline. They know exactly what to look for. They know they have all their internal metrics that they can look to. So how much reluctance will there be about Arenado's age-related decline? That's another question.
If Cardinals fans, I would argue, would be rooting for Arenado to go to the Phillies because the Phillies love to spend money, Bernie. They love to throw money around. So if there's a team out there that's going to be more willing to take on that salary and you still get something good back for Arenado, it might just be the Phillies.
Yeah, and Alex Bregman makes a lot of money, too. I mean, it's not like $30 million a year. What's he about, $20 million or so? Maybe a little more than that. So that's another potential trade partner. Arenado, if he's going to resurrect his power, he'd get a big boost playing at Minute Maid Park. And the other thing is that financially, I'm not going to say it's like an even trade-off salary for salary, but it's in the ballpark. It's close.
You need to be subscribed to Bernie's YouTube channel. It's at The Bernie Show. So youtube.com/@TheBernieShow, the at sign, not AT, at The Bernie Show. One or two videos being produced on a daily basis, 30, 35, 40 minutes, getting in-depth on great topics. You'll really enjoy it. And Bernie, of course, your appearances here on KMOX, always being brought to you by your friends over at Saliga.
Saliga Heating and Cooling, and I am proud to represent that wonderful family. You know, there's four generations of Saligas that have owned this business and operated it. Dan Saliga is the fourth, and he's upheld those high standards because, listen, I come from a family where my grandparents started their own business, and it was in the family a long, 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 long time, and all the kids worked there and the grandkids. And I tell you what, you pull up to my grandparents' business back in the day, and you see your big last name on the signs, or you see it on the truck, and it just means more to you. It really does, because you know you got to go in there and do a great job because your family name is on the business. And that same dynamic is in place with Saliga Heating and Cooling. And of course, they're an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. They've been serving this community since 1927. And the Saliga name does mean something because, again, they've established a wonderful business that's high standards. It's got a reputation for integrity, honesty, knowledge, professionalism. They will help you find cheaper solutions. They'll always play it straight with you. There's no fast talk. There's no hustle. 100% high grades, the highest grades for integrity. So they can do residential work, commercial work, all makes and models, repairs, updates. And they can install that new American Standard equipment if you need that. If it gets to that point where you need new equipment, they have American Standard for you. So one more time, you go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com to check out everything they have, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, all their services. You'll see the phone number there, but I'll give it to you, 314-481-7333. Thank you.
It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. If you want to chime in on the state of the St. Louis Blues, we welcome your text messages in at 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. You can also leave a voice message if you are listening on the Odyssey app. You can just sit there and click the little microphone button and leave us a voice message, and we can play that as well. So Drew Bannister spoke with the media earlier today. A couple notes about what happened at practice today. First off, somewhat of a surprise, Robert Thomas was on the ice. Now, this doesn't really mean anything in terms of when he'll be available, but he's at least healthy enough to get on the ice and skate a bit. So that is a good step forward. There's still no timeline on when he's going to be back. The Blues also announced today that they have recalled defenseman Leo Loof from their AHL affiliate, the Springfield Thunderbirds. So let's go through what Drew Bannister had to say today. First off, the big news, Thomas being on the ice, getting some skating in today, what that means for this team here moving forward.
It was great to see him on the ice, you know, and, you know, I think he was excited to be, he wants to be with the team, you know, he wants to get out on the ice, and I think the guys were excited to see him, and maybe a little bit surprised, too, that he was out on the ice with us, but I thought he looked good, and, you know, obviously there's no timeline with his injury, but it's good to see him out on the ice with us. Sure.
Will he go on the trip to skate or keep
I think
here?
No, I think he's going to come on the ice or come on the trip with us, and you know, give him, I think he wants he wants to be around the team. Like he's been away a little bit, rehabbing his injury, and I think he wants to be with the team, which is great to see.
Just listening to him on the radio the other day, and now seeing him out here today, obviously not putting any sort of timetable.
Yeah.
Sounds like it went as well as could be expected, right?
I think when talking to Tomer, I think he feels real good about where he is right now, and like you said, probably better than expected. But again, there's no timetable for him. But I think it's a good sign to see him on the ice and wanting to be around the team and being out in practices with us.
Was today his first skate? Sometimes they skate on their own before joining you.
No, he skated on his own. I could be wrong here, but probably at least two times before this. Yeah.
So good to see Robert Thomas back on the ice skating. No timeline on when he might be able to come back. Obviously, the team has not been playing very well with him gone. So Bannister was asked whether or not he feels like this team can win games without having Thomas available.
I mean, obviously, like we can sit here and say, Robbie's a big part of the team. Like, of course he is, but, the forward group there, we've had success with them, and I believe in this group, and, we can't wait for Tomer to come back. We have to start winning games now with the guys that we have in our lineup, and, I know the guys believe in that group, and when we play to our potential and the way we need to play, we have success, and, adding Tomer to that, when we're playing well, we're a heck of a hockey team, but we just got to make sure that, before he comes, we got to make sure we take care of our own business.
They have not played to their potential very much this year, and they obviously are missing Robert Thomas, but that doesn't mean that this group can't go out and win some games and score some goals. It just really isn't happening right now. So I mentioned to you that there was a roster move today as the team has brought up from their AHL team in Springfield. Leo Loof is going to be with the club moving forward, and Bannister talked about what he brings to the team.
Talking to some of the coaches down, he's been steady down there, and that they've had some injury problems down there too, whether it's on their back end or up front. But he's been playing simple, kind of what we saw here when he came in and played some real good games for us, keeping it simple and moving pucks and playing physical.
As far as just what this means for the team, obviously they still don't have Nick Leddy. He's been out for a while. When he first went down with injury, the indication was that it wasn't going to be that long. Lower body injury, back soon. He's not going to go on this trip, so he's going to be out for a while longer. And this is really all the update that could be given on Leddy.
He's just continuing to, do rehab and get his injury back to where he can play. And I think when we look back at it, we didn't realize how long it would take. And that's, probably why we said it was day-to-day at times. And it's obviously gone a lot longer than that. And it's just, it's the nature of the injury that you don't know where you're going to be with. And he's just continuing to rehab. And he's been on the ice too. But we're just trying to build his strength up, and he'll continue to rehab and see the proper doctors to get it fixed and ready to play.
So is he going to stay here during the trip?
He will be staying here, yeah.
Just to be clear with him, that wasn't a one-time thing, right? Because you said it had nagged him the day before. And that kind of
I think it was something that kind of built up through possibly a little bit of training camp and then some of the games. And he was trying to play through it, thinking that eventually would get better. But, it kind of went the other way on him, where it was getting worse and he wasn't able to play, and it was affecting his play.
So let's really get into where this team is at right now, because we've talked about it a lot. There's a lot of frustration. They're not playing good hockey. They're making losing plays right now. They just got done with a five-game homestand where they only won twice, and one of those wins was against Toronto. The one team they seem to beat is Toronto. They can get up for their former coach, but they can't get up for anybody else. And now they're about to hit the road for three games. They'll play Buffalo, Boston, and Carolina. Bannister said that this road trip can show something about this team.
I think this is a good opportunity. I mean, when you're down like this, I think you find you really find out a lot about your team. And what I know about this group is the they're a resilient bunch, and they're going to keep pushing. And I think You know, last night after to 40 minutes, we felt good about our game, you know, and we showed resiliency and, you know, some of the things that we talked about, you know, the few days before, as far as, you know, our game or our team game, you know, guys were doing that. And, you know, I thought our PK was outstanding and our power play kind of fed off that and scored two big goals for us. And now it's just focusing on the highs and lows that, you know, whether it's wins and losses or in the game and just, you know, playing with more of an even keel and pushing through the tough times.
So that's Drew Bannister talking about this road trip coming up. And as he continued to talk about the road trip, he did talk a little bit about the team's mindset going into the trip.
I think if we look at yesterday's game, like the first 40 minutes, I thought we showed a lot of resiliency in different situations. I thought the first 3 or 4 minutes, like, you know, guys were playing on their toes and, you know, we had a couple chances. We hit a post to kind of create separation. And I think it's just having that mindset for you know, 60 minutes and you know, the willingness to play in tight games and be able to win those games and that the chances will come. And when we get pushed, we got to be able to push back, you know, meet pressure with pressure. And I think that's something that we got to, you know, we got to push through ourselves and find that extra level when we need it.
We talked about getting more offense last night, mm-hmm. but how do you get this team, you know, I think it's 9 times out of 16, 2 goals or less, mm-hmm. to not be at the end of the night talking about what we didn't get inside, we yep. didn't get second opportunities. How do you get to the point where you are scoring?
Yeah, I think it's, again, it's just a lot of continuing to watch video and see the areas that we can improve on and get it closer to the net and shoot more pucks, be more direct at times. You know, and a lot of that's fed, you know, from how you enter the zone to how you forecheck to get your ozone set up. You know, and at times yesterday, I thought, you know, we were forcing plays that wasn't able to us to set up in the ozone. And Boston's a tough team. They've always been, you know, good defensively. They don't give up a lot. So you have to be patient, too. Like, you might not get a ton of chances, but when you do, you have to make sure that you take advantage of them. But you have to be patient. You know, you're not going to get a lot of chances against that team. So, you know, you have to be patient in those times and again, play, have the mindset that if it's a 1-0 game and you're willing to play in a 1-0 game and you're happy with it, we should. It's 2 points, it's 2 points.
That's Drew Bannister, bluntly, kind of more of the same from him. At some point, I think we're at the point now, what you say doesn't matter so much. We'll continue to play for you what he says so you know, but it's got to be followed up with action on the ice, and we'll see how they do on this upcoming road trip. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Coming up at the 7 o'clock hour, our good friend Amy Markscorse is going to be with us to talk hockey. We call her Hockey Amy when she is talking hockey. If you don't know, she used to be part of the Blues broadcast team when the Blues were here on KMOX. By the way, I asked people whether or not I should start throwing out this narrative and I got a little pushback, so I won't mention it too often, but the Blues have not been especially good since their games were no longer airing on KMOX. I mean, is there a curse? You leave the station, you go, well, you know, is there a curse? Just throwing that out there. Just throwing it out there. I won't mention it too terribly often, but just, you know, just saying things. But yeah, Amy's going to join us coming up next hour. Katie Shields, the head coach of the St. Louis University women's soccer team, she's going to join us next hour as well. We encourage you to somehow, some way, get connected with the Gas House Gang on an everyday basis, Monday through Friday, so every weekday basis, here on KMOX and via our social media channels. We do replay it at night, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, so a little bit more than an hour from now. Myself and Tom Ackerman have you today. Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas, part of it as well. Tuesday through Friday, we pair up. On Monday, it's all four of us doing nothing but Cardinals baseball. But also, I encourage you to, whether you're subscribing via YouTube or just making sure that you're connected on social media channels, whatever it might be, make sure you're connected to it. You can watch it live, and that's one of the things we're doing more of, taking your comments. So if you watch it live on YouTube or on Facebook or on Twitter, you can comment to us in real time, and we'll address your comments. So it is the Gas House Gang. Comes your way live every day at noon on our social media channels, and then we run at 8 o'clock here on KMOX. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We do continue on here on the program. So something has happened today that is going to probably impact you and your ability to watch Cardinals and your ability to watch Blues games. If you've been following along for a while, you know that the Cardinals recently re-upped with FanDuel Sports Network, formerly Bally Sports Midwest. But the big thing that was still hanging out there was the fact that the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball had objected to the bankruptcy hearing of Diamond Sports, the parent company of what is now FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. So even though the Cardinals had agreed to their TV deal, it wasn't for sure going to move forward if the bankruptcy judge did not approve the plan for Diamond Sports and for the network moving forward. Well, a couple things happened today, and it's not getting a ton of headlines, but it is notable. First off, Major League Baseball and also the Atlanta Braves, along with Sinclair, have all withdrawn their objection to the Diamond Sports Chapter 11 plan. So the plan is no longer being objected. Sidebar on that. What an interesting turn of events. It wasn't that long ago that we were putting Bally Sports Midwest in the grave. Myself included, I talk about this a lot on this show. We knew without a doubt that Bally, or what was known as Bally, it was on its last leg and it had no chance whatsoever. Give credit to them. They have figured out a way to potentially come out of bankruptcy because now there are no objections to this plan. And oh yeah, by the way, more teams are signing up to stay on the network. So in addition to the Braves and the Cardinals, deals have also been struck with the Angels, the Rays, the Tigers, the Reds, and the Marlins. So it's not as many teams as they had before. We know there are a good number of teams that have left the Bally FanDuel portfolio. The Brewers left, the Twins left, the Rangers left. Previously, they had ended deals with the Padres and with the Diamondbacks. But there are some other teams that could still re-up with them before all is said and done. So that's the first thing. It also looks like they're going to get another infusion of cash. And if you are a cord cutter, but you are an Amazon user, this might be a really good thing for you. FanDuel Sports Network has an official deal with Amazon, where if you have Prime, or you have just the Prime Video service, you can buy Prime Video without actually having the Prime package. But it feels like most people have Amazon Prime, or a lot of people have Amazon Prime. FanDuel Sports Network is going to be available to you as an add-on. Now, FanDuel had already said that, you know, they're already offering, say, like the Blues games. I think it's like $20 a month. There's going to be a package for Cardinals games, probably about $20 a month or so. They haven't said what the price is going to be yet for Amazon, But I would think that because they're working it out with Amazon and because you already have an Amazon account and you're paying for the service, I would think there's a good chance that adding on FanDuel to your Amazon Prime account is going to maybe cost a little bit less than if you buy it directly from FanDuel. I could be completely off on that. It could be the exact same price, and it's just another avenue for you to go get it. But now Amazon is going to, you're going to be able to stream the entire network through your Amazon Prime account. So if you've got an Amazon Prime account and you watch Prime TV, you watch some of the different video offerings that they have, you'll be able to do an add-on and get that. So look, we are in a changing media landscape. And I always give credit to people who kind of change along with it. And I think that's where the folks at Diamond Sports and with FanDuel Sports Network deserve a lot of credit, because they were dead. They were dead in the water not that long ago. And now, between acquiring more streaming rights from teams like they've done with the Cardinals, by being able to work out this Amazon deal, by getting a new naming rights agreement with FanDuel, all these things, it just seems like it's a best possible situation. As a Cardinals fan, I think you should be more happy with where they're at right now with the TV situation than if you were in Milwaukee, if you were in Minnesota, if you're in San Diego, if you're in Arizona, if you're in any of those places, because there's going to be more availability for you to get the game somehow, some way. The only issue still is there are still a lot of services, whether it's like, you know, YouTube TV or Hulu Live TV. There's still a bunch of services that don't carry FanDuel. And I know that's a bummer for people who are already paying their cable bill each month to get those services. And it would cost more money for you to get the games. But now, between Amazon and the direct offering, there's clearly going to be ways for you to go about getting these games and getting these networks moving forward. All right, we'll jump back into the Blues. Hockey, Amy Markscores from the Chris and Amy Show. We'll talk all things Blues hockey with her. She joins us in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. St. Louis University women's soccer coach Katie Shields is going to join us in about 15, 20 minutes, talk about her team's run in the NCAA tournament. But right now, very happy to welcome in the alter ego of the person you hear during the Chris and Amy Show every weekday midday here on KMOX. It is Hockey Amy. Amy Markscores is with us, talk a little Blues hockey. Amy, we're reversing things. Generally, I'm your guest on Chris and Amy. Now you're my guest here on Sports Open Line.
I'm so excited. I was like telling people, I'm like, listen, I get to be on Sports Open Line with Matt Pauly.
And people should know, who maybe just know you from Chris and Amy, when the Blues were here on KMOX, you were a big part of that broadcast, and you just had a very large role.
You know, it was really fun. I was with the Blues broadcast team from 2016 to 2019 when they won the Stanley Cup. So, I mean, I miss it. I was, you know, in the locker room every day. You're there. You're just always with the team. It was so fun covering the games at KMOX. Alex Ferrario was also covering the Blues. People know him from the pre and post game, doing the intermissions. And then, obviously, the best of the best was that KMOX will always have that first Stanley Cup victory, and that is so much fun.
I planted earlier the idea of the curse of leaving KMOX. They haven't really done much since leaving the station.
Listen, I mean, I don't, you know, you don't want to point fingers. You don't want to speculate, but you know how it is, Matt. KMOX is something pretty darn special. And so, oh my gosh, being at the Garden, game seven, in the final second, even though the Blues were up by multiple goals, I thought this can't be real. Like, I, you know, cynical Blues fan, I thought, oh my gosh, they're going to find some way to lose it. But then they won. It was just so glorious the whole season, worst to first, the 11-game winning streak in January to kick things off. It was glorious. It will always be like a highlight of my life.
Yet here we are right now, where the team is doing some things that are just not good. They had the 8-1 loss to Washington, and then They follow that up with a game where they're up 3-0 in the third, 2-0 in the third period, end up giving up three unanswered goals and losing 3-2. I am so frustrated about this team, and I'm trying to get people to like walk me back on my frustration, and nobody can. I feel like a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, no, they do. And, you know, you can fall back on the consolation. You think, okay, when you go back to 2018, 2019, that season, the Blues were in last place in 2019. Before that, remember, Mike Yeo was calling out guys by name for lack of effort. Calling out Alex Pietrangelo, calling out others that he said, okay, you're just not playing up to par. Then he gets fired. Then you have Craig Berube come up. We all know what happened. So you think, like, that's possible. That's possible. However, when you look at that roster and the makeup of that roster, some of the more veteran players that they had on that roster, players that, honest to goodness, you could have picked out a few captains from that 2019 team. Yeah, we had Alex Pietrangelo, Ryan O'Reilly, he could have been a captain. Even David Perron, he could have been a captain. We know Braden Schenn from that squad is the captain. There were certain personalities that were leaders, and that's what concerns me that we're missing in this team, Matt. I was listening earlier, and you talked about how the players, again, keep falling back in the post-game pressers. Like, we know what we need to do. You know, lack of effort. We're too many turnovers. We're just not pushing. We play tentative in that loss to Boston. And what's interesting is when you keep saying something that you know you need to do and you don't do it, that means only one of two things. Either this team, physically, talent-wise, doesn't have the ability to do those things, to not create turnovers, or excuse me, give up turnovers in the neutral zone, or they're not disciplined enough to do it because they know what they need to do and it's not happening. So either they don't have the ability to do it or they're not disciplined enough, and I'm kind of leaning on the latter.
What's more frustrating, just getting run off your own ice on a Saturday night at home in an 8-1 loss, or following that up with a game where you blow a 2-0 lead in the third period?
That's a good question, because for me, the 8-1 loss was more painful because it has exposed so many of the current weaknesses of this team. If you're doing okay in a season and you're playing pretty well and you have an 8-1 loss, you can chalk it up to a fluke. But the Blues had two 8-1 losses within a 12-day span. They looked like they were having issues with effort. So I think the 8-1 loss to the Capitals was so shocking to the system that one actually hurt me more than the 3-2, because instead of hoping for the best in the game when the Blues were up 2-0, you were already expecting the worst. So what they would have to do is they don't have the benefit of a doubt now. That was erased by that effort against the Capitals. They now have to prove me wrong. Proving me wrong would have been playing 60 full minutes. What they did was they played 40 minutes, and then proved me right by blowing up in the final 20.
I know it's low-hanging fruit, and I know I won't shut up about it, but I'm going to say it again. Hey, does it frustrate you when they come off the 8-1 loss and the first media available? And by the way, post-game after 8-1 loss, you got players saying that other players gave up, which is the worst thing you can do as an athlete when you give up. And you got players basically accusing other players of giving up. That's a terrible place to be. I've heard some quotes from people saying that third period was the worst third period they've ever seen the Blues play. So we're talking about a really bad moment. And the next game, or the next day when Bannister's doing his media session, he just wants to talk about line changes. Like, am I wrong to be frustrated by that?
No, you're not wrong, but it definitely had that feeling, like we said, tomorrow when you're like, playoffs? You want to talk about playoffs? Like, there's a level of incredulity where you're thinking, poor line changes not only isn't the problem, but it's such a basic technical part of the game that that would be fixable. And what he's implying is, you know, like, well, things are going rough because we have poor line changes. If you haven't fixed the line changes by now, if your team can't figure that out, what are you doing in the NHL? It's not line changes. Yeah, it doesn't help. But what happens is it's losing that focus. It's losing that push. The line changes are not a cause of the problem. They're a symptom of the problem that this team isn't gelling.
Well said. Well said by a hockey Amy. Amy Mark scores. So where? How does this team get out of this? What's the end result here? Where this team can get back on the right place?
That's a good question. I don't know because I'm. You know, you look at a Braden Schenn and you think, okay, who's the leader here? Because the team is more talented than they're playing. I'm not saying they're a Stanley Cup contending team. They are not. But they're more talented than their performances right now because it looks different when you're being outplayed, but you're playing close to your potential than it does when you are playing so poorly, it's almost embarrassing. And I don't know what can flip the switch. I would hope it would be some type of leadership. Does that come from Schenn? You know, is that really Parayko's personality? Does the team get a boost when Robert Thomas comes back? There's something about this team that kind of feels like a teenager, like very unpredictable, very emotional. I know people talk like, oh, there's a mental fragility aspect. It's almost like they're more emotional and mercurial. They don't have that leader to say, hey, get it together. We got to keep going. It's kind of summed up in the same way. I hate to keep picking on Jordan Kyrou, but some of the issues when he first came up from the minor leagues, and remember his first foray with the Blues really was when David Perron got hurt in that 2019 season. They brought up Jordan Kyrou. He was young. That's what we kept saying. He was young. And if he's going to make it in the NHL, he's got to pull himself together. And it still feels like he's young. So when this core, this team, including Jordan Kyrou, got Craig Berube fired, and then Kyrou kind of mouthed off with a snarky little comment when asked about, hey, you lost Craig Berube. Not only did that, I think, like, really bother the fans, but it's almost illustrative of a team that's kind of immature. And there are mature players on this team. Can they round up the guys that aren't playing up to their ability, that aren't playing up to the league standard, and get them to turn it around? Because, like you said, they're not a Stanley Cup contending roster, at least not, you know, looking at it, but they are better than they are.
She is Amy Mark scores to hear on Chris and Amy. Amy, this was fun. We'll do this every once in a while moving forward.
Oh, I'm excited, Matt. I was looking forward to this all day. Thank you.
Awesome. Very good. Amy Mark scores to hear during Chris and Amy. And that's her Hockey Amy alter ego. And we enjoy talking to her here on KMOX.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. The St. Louis University women's soccer team, once again, they are headed to the NCAA tournament. They're going to be home on Friday as they match up against the Kansas Jayhawks. And we are very happy to welcome back on to the program. She is the head coach of the SLU women's soccer team. She is Coach Katie Shields. Coach, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy to be with you guys.
Hey, you get your team into the NCAA tournament a lot. Does it always feel cool? Like, does the feeling stay the same every year as you're getting ready for it?
Yeah, I think every team, every championship, it definitely feels different. And so this one has been enjoyable, challenging, all the different emotions, but there's something very special when you get to NCAA tournament time. And so very excited to have that opportunity for the seventh straight year.
What is it about your team this time of the year? Because, I mean, once again, you guys roll through the A-10 Conference Championship. You only give up one goal. You score, what, I think, 7 goals over the 3 matches. I mean, it just seems like every year around this time, you've got your team playing their best.
That's always the goal, you know, when we come together. Obviously, we start preparing in the winter, but as we really come together in August, we always just want to keep growing, keep getting better. And no trip is linear, you know, no season is a straight line up. And so, but we always do try to peak around this time. And I think that's a credit to our women. They just keep getting better. They keep improving and they stay hungry throughout.
I think I ask you this question just about every year, but I'll ask it to you again. You go back to the beginning of the season, and when you put together a non-conference that featured teams like BYU and Missouri and Penn State and some other you went to, Creighton, you had some success in those games. Some of those games you didn't win, but how important are those non-conference experiences as you get ready to play the type of teams that you'll see in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think it's tremendously important, not just to play, you know, challenging opponents, but to play different kinds of opponents, you know, teams that ask different questions of you and your team. And then to be, again, find success against teams that are going to be playing deep into November and December. And so for us, that's definitely a priority. You know, we accomplished that with our non-conference this year. And we have experience not just playing, but beating teams in the field. And so that, you know, that's experiences we'll rely on these next few weeks.
SLU has picked up their 17th and 18th A-10 postseason major awards since 2016. This year, Lindsay Heckel is the Defensive Player of the Year. Emily Gaby is the Offensive Player of the Year. I know it takes an entire team, but can you talk a little bit about just the special seasons that those two players had as they were able to lead you to this point?
Yeah, those two are some of the best to ever wear, you know, SLU blue for our program. Obviously up front, Emily Gaby, I think she's one of the deadliest goal scorers in the country. She can do it in a variety of different ways. And she's just notorious for scoring big goals in big games, just like she did on Championship Sunday. You know, she scored our goal against BYU this fall. So I think having a threat like that on your side, you feel like you got a shot against everybody in the country. And then it also, you know, it maybe opens up opportunity for others if the focus falls all on her. And then from a defensive standpoint, you know, Lindsay Heckel is just, she has gotten better every single year, but she's just consistently a force defensively. She organizes us, she leads an experienced group, but then she's also, I think, second on our team in goals. And so, you know, she's a threat on set pieces. She's a threat coming out of the back. And so to have that weapon in our back pocket is huge come playoff time.
Going to match up against Kansas coming up on Friday night, so everybody can come together and their general dislike for that university coming up this weekend. Well, I'm sure you've seen a lot of them on film. What do you see from them? What kind of challenge will they present?
It's a really, you know, it's a good matchup. As we talk about with our women, everybody at this point is good. You know, you don't get there. You get there by being either champions or beating the best teams in the country consistently. And so, obviously, Kansas found their way in by winning a gauntlet of a Big 12 tournament. But we're excited to just focus, you know, be prepared for Kansas, but focus on us and what's gotten us to this point and our success, and ensure that we are the best version of SLU women's soccer come Friday night.
Not to bring up a bad memory, but the one other matchup between these two teams came in 2018. That was in Lawrence, a double overtime matchup. Kansas ended up winning by a 2-1 score. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, it's a, you know, it feels like a 2 decades ago in a lot of ways, just because that was from this modern time, this modern era. My, you know, in terms of my time with SLU, that was our first trip to the NCAA tournament in 2018. And so it was new for everybody. We weren't as experienced as we are with this current group. It was a cold, I think it was about 10 degrees at kickoff. So it was a really cold night. I think everybody remembers that it was there. And it was an end-to-end battle. You know, it was a different team at that time at Kansas, different coaching staff, different, you know, kind of different style of play. So, I think it's history, it's ancient history. Nobody other than myself, you know, and one of our assistant coaches were in the program at the time, but we're, you know, I've heard from a few alums who would like us to take care of that result on Friday for their memories.
It's going to be a 7 o'clock start at Herman Stadium on Friday night. For folks who generally come out and support you guys, I know they're going to be there. But talk to the people who are listening right now who have never gone to a SLU women's soccer game and why they need to be there on Friday night.
I think first and foremost, we are the premier, you know, we're the best women's soccer in the city of St. Louis. And so, you know, for those that maybe follow women's soccer or have kids that play, it's the best, you know, it's the best of the best you can find. We've got future pros on our field. And I think we play a very high flying, exciting brand of soccer. We love to score goals. We love to celebrate. And we've got, you know, just an incredible environment within the stadium. It's one of the premier stadiums in the country to come watch a college soccer game. And I think, you know, for us, it'll be an incredible atmosphere that you won't want to miss on Friday night.
For those folks out there that were at City SC games all the time and are going through a soccer withdrawal, this is a great opportunity to go get a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck coming up on Friday night. Always good to beat the Jayhawks. Hopefully you're able to do that. And hopefully we're talking more as you guys have a long, deep run through the tournament.
I hope so. Thanks so much, Matt.
That's Coach Katie Shields joining us on the program. We appreciate her taking a few moments with us. And like I said, get on out there. Herman, it's Friday night. It's going to be at Herman Stadium, 7 o'clock start. If you go to SLUBilkins.com, you can see all the ticket information right there. But, man, that's a special program. Right now, they've got tickets on sale, $12 for adults, $6 for youth. So that's a great deal, and you can go watch some really high-level women's soccer that's going to be taking place on Friday. It's just incredible to think about. It was interesting for me listening to her talk about 2018 because it doesn't feel like 2018 was that long ago, and it feels like SLU women's soccer has just been this juggernaut forever, going to the tournament on almost an every year basis. And for her, into her second decade, I believe this is her 12th year coaching the program, for her to talk about 2018 and being their first times when she was there to play in the tournament, didn't mean to bring up too bad of a memory with that result. But certainly, man, oh, man, oh, man, you think 2018, 5, 6 years since then, not a lot. That program and what they've turned into that short amount of time is pretty remarkable. All right, we'll take one more break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up this edition. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauley. Back with more in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are starting to wrap things up for the evening on this show, but don't go anywhere. We've got the Gas House Gang coming your way from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening, as tonight it's going to be myself and Tom Ackerman. If you're not familiar yet with the Gas House Gang, certainly would encourage you to be familiar with it. In addition to be able to listen back at 8 o'clock, you're able to watch it live when it airs at 12 noon every weekday. And like I said, today it's going to be myself and Tom Ackerman. Tomorrow is Thursday, so that's going to be Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas. And then on Friday, it's going to be myself and Bernie Miklas. So each day, we've got a different tandem of our group of four, except for Monday, where it's all four of us for a Cardinals Monday. Myself, Tom, Kevin, and Bernie Miklas coming your way every Monday. So whether you subscribe via the KMOX Sports YouTube page or via podcast form or wherever it might be, you can check it out live or on demand or on the radio weekday nights at 8 o'clock, and that's what's going to be coming up here in just a little bit.
we discussed this, Tom and I do, so I don't want to give everything away from our conversation that's going to be coming up in a few moments. But I've been thinking about this a fair amount because yesterday we got a text message basically saying, why would the team trade Nolan Arenado? He's not really due that much money over the course of the next few years. And I've seen some people during the Gas House gang the other day. We got a comment from somebody asking, why don't the Cardinals sign Max Scherzer? Yeah, it's just comments like those make me kind of feel like that not everybody, and I'm not trying to be like disrespectful to the people who send those messages, so I hope it doesn't come across that way. But in some ways, those messages make me feel like, despite my best efforts, and I think the rest of the media's best efforts of kind of explaining what the Cardinals are doing, I feel like there's still a little bit of a disconnect there. The Cardinals are going young as much as they can. And in many ways, I'm actually somewhat concerned if they are going to be able to go as young as I would like them to go. I'll repeat this and I'll continue to repeat this. I want to see young guys have an opportunity to be in the starting rotation. And right now, the way the team is set up, there's really not that much room for young pitchers in the starting rotation when you already have. Now, Andre Pallante is a young guy, but he's also sort of an established guy. He's been in the big leagues for a few years. I'm talking about the Michael McGreevy's and the Gordon Graceffos and maybe eventually Quinn Matthews late in the season. I'm talking about having entry points for those guys to get into the starting rotation. And it will all work itself out, and you always want more starting pitchers than you need going into spring training because you never have all of them coming out. So I'm probably getting worried about something that I really don't need to get worried about. But the way it's sitting right now, with the if the season were to start tomorrow, the rotation for the Cardinals would be Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante, Miles Michaelis, and then probably either Steven Matz or Michael McGreevy. So you have your fifth starter spot is maybe open for one of these young guys. And to me, that's just not a huge opportunity for young guys. When we talk about the move to first base for Wilson Contreras, that does open up opportunities for young catchers. And we'll see that with Pedro Páez and Ivan Herrera, as those guys you would expect to be the catching tandem for the Cardinals next season. But it also, by putting Contreras at first base, it closes down an opportunity to use an Alec Burleson, a Lucan Baker, and Ivan Herrera, even though he's going to be catching, and Nolan Gorman, use those young guys at first base. So if you don't just say, we're going young, and then that's all you need to do. Like, if you say you're going to go young, which I think is a good thing for this team to do, you got to figure out what you have. You actually have to follow through on that. And Jordan Walker is going to get the opportunity in right field, you would assume. We'll see what happens in center field and whether or not Victor Scott really gets a chance to win that job, or if they're going to stick around with Michael Ciani and Lars Nootbaar, you would think is going to be mainly your left fielder. But if you bring back a Nolan Arenado, and that was the point the texter was sending in yesterday, are you really going young? Because you're losing opportunities to put young players in. When the starting rotation looks the way it looks right now, when the, you know, I think from a relief standpoint, there's going to be opportunities for young guys to step forward. That absolutely is going to be an area. But the John Mozeliak didn't say we're trying to create a situation where young relievers get opportunities. He said young players are going to have opportunities. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for young players. Well, then those opportunities need to be created. And I guess the answer to that, like if I'm listening to me talk right now, probably the response that I would have is, well, you don't want to just move on from a guy to give a young guy an opportunity, right? Like that's not, you want to win games. You want to put together the best team. And that's just true. I don't think this team is going into next season thinking that they're, even though payroll is going down, I don't think that they're going into the season saying that they're not going to compete. They don't have an opportunity to win. I've said it over and over. I'm pretty comfortable with where this team is at right now in terms of at least being a playoff contender. I'm not telling you they're a World Series contender. That's not who they're going to be this upcoming season. But it also wasn't who they were this past year. And this past year, they had spent a ton of money going into this year, and they just spent it on middle-level players, where you should be able to replicate much of what those players did with the guys that are going to come in and step up and step forward and all of that. But I love Nolan Arenado. 2 years ago, year ago, you know, going into last season, not this past season, but the year before, Nolan Arenado was on my short list of players that if I had to start a team, who I would have taken. You know, an all-star caliber bat with a Hall of Fame caliber defensive position, you know, defensive ability at third base. That guy who he was 2-3 years ago and beyond, like, I thought that skill set together was the type of player that you want in your organization. And he's fallen back a little bit offensively. He's fallen back a little bit defensively as well, probably not as much as some would think, but he's not it's just time, I think. It's just time where if you are going to be an organization and you are going to sit there and say, we're going to give young guys opportunities, which is what healthy organizations do. You develop players, you get them to the big leagues, and you give them the opportunity to be as good as possible. And that's where Brant Brown and everybody else the organization is going to bring in. Now, that's part of it. But when you do that, again, it's just part of a healthy organization. So to me, it makes a lot of sense to move on from Nolan Arenado. I hate that I'm saying those words. But that's where it's at. I do think maybe at times there is a little bit of a disconnect when it comes to building the roster for the upcoming season. There are people out there that are simply, I want to say not listening, but it's not clicking with them completely of what it's going to look like. If you are watching the Gas House Gang, and I'm really not trying to like single out one single person. So if you're the person who sent this, I'm sorry. But if you're watching the Gas House Gang and we're talking about the future of the Cardinals and talking about the refocusing on player development and the young players getting opportunities, and you send in a message that says, hey, why don't they sign Max Scherzer? To me, that tells I feel like you don't completely understand or don't get, or maybe just not willing to accept, whatever it might be, what they're actually trying to do for this upcoming season. I actually think they're going to get to, if they get to spring training, and the team kind of looks the way that I think it's going to look, and there are a bunch of solid veteran relief pitchers still out there on the market, I think that's an area that they could actually try to improve themselves with some more veteran-type players who are willing to take somewhat low-money deals. Like, if you're Andrew Kittredge, you go into this offseason coming off a fantastic year saying, I'm going to try to make as much money as I possibly can make. A lot of guys go into off seasons thinking that, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. See Jordan Montgomery. Jordan Montgomery, it's not an apples to apples, but you'll get the point that I'm trying to make. Jordan Montgomery coming off a spectacular postseason and a World Series and a pretty good regular season was thinking last year that was going to be his big payday year, and then it just didn't happen, and he ended up signing a contract that was probably for less money than he wanted to, certainly less years than he wanted to. You don't root for those things to happen, but they do happen. We can't ignore the fact that they are likely to happen. So if Andrew Kittredge hits free agency coming off a great year where he thinks he's going to make a whole bunch of money and get a multi-year contract, and then it doesn't happen, and we're 3 weeks out from pitchers and catchers reporting, do you have a conversation with Andrew Kittredge about him coming back to the Cardinals at a number that you feel comfortable with? Absolutely. And maybe you can put together that exact same kind of season and try again next year. But those kind of deals where you actually do bring in a veteran player that can help, I would think that those type of deals are going to be much, much, much closer to spring training. All right, that's going to do it. That is going to do it for this edition of the program. Again, we've got the Gas House Gang on the way next, myself and Tom Ackerman. That's going to be coming your way until 9 o'clock tonight. So listen in for that. It begins after the 8 o'clock news, which is in just a few minutes right here on KMOX.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.